because it's time for another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. And as per usual, we've got the host of that program with us, and that is Dr. Renee Boyce. And as per usual, she has her guests as well. So let's say a pleasant evening to Dr. Boyce. Good evening, Doc. I can see your lips moving, but you know why we can't hear you? Take a guess.
I missed the studio. Good evening, Gregson.
Yes, please. Good evening.
I missed putting on my headset. I missed the atmosphere in the studio, but good evening to you. How are you?
And you missed unmuting the microphone there too.
Yes, because see, it's not natural.
That's right. We'll have you back soon.
My headset is natural.
We'll have you back in soon, guaranteed.
Yay! So good evening to everybody and welcome to the Better Health Radio Show, where we help you to live your best life. This evening, I have, as usual, a very special guest, and we are in for a very exciting discussion, I believe, on something that's very pertinent to the whole pandemic that as a nation, as countries in the world that we are going through right now. This evening, I have with me Dr. Adrian Lord. Good evening, Dr. Lord.
Good evening to Gregson first, and good evening to you, Greg.
Thank you kindly.
Good evening to the whole of Barbados, listening here and abroad.
So this evening, we're going to talk about what happens after COVID and sport. How do we reopen after the entire COVID-19 pandemic? I thought what would be interesting and what would be very instructive would be to go over the statistics to update ourselves on the numbers. And believe you me, the numbers really are alarming. Worldwide, according to the WHO, we stand, when I checked it earlier this afternoon, at 23,057,288 confirmed cases of COVID-19. And of those, 800,906 deaths have occurred. According to the CDC, Centers for Disease Control in the United States of America, 5,598,547 cases with 174,645 deaths. Now, if you consider our population at approaching 300,000 in Barbados, the number of persons who have died in the USA as a result of COVID-19 would be essentially just a little over half of our population. And for us here at home, where thankfully I got into trouble for this already, so let me choose my words carefully. Each death that has occurred in our country as a result of COVID-19 has been a loss for our nation. It has been tragic, but we are thankful as a nation that our numbers are not in the hundreds, our numbers are not in the thousands, and certainly, well, we can be in the millions. So we are thankful for that as a nation, and there's no reason for us to rest on our laurels. And I thought what was interesting as well when I was looking at these statistics was that the top three countries are the United States of America, accounting for a quarter of the cases worldwide, followed by Brazil and India. And China, where everything started, they've fallen down the global ranking to 35. So they're the 35th ranked country. So this is very instructive for us as a people, where we cannot rest on our laurels. We can't ease up on the methods of protection that we are putting in place, we have put in place as a nation. And towards the end of the show, we'll go over those as well. But let's jump right in with Dr. Lord. Dr. Lord, why is sport so important to you?
Well, I love sport. It's important because it's recreation, it's relaxation, it's healthy. And it's healthy for all persons. And it's, as you know, we have a lot of chronic non-communicable diseases here in Barbados. And sport and exercise is one way of combating that those illnesses. To me, I never excelled in sports at school. I tried, but now I have been involved in fitness and I've been keeping very fit, especially due to COVID. I've been fitter than ever in my life.
Yes, Dr. Lord has blessed me with pictures of him on his treadmill at some hour in the morning where outside is still dark. And I'm thinking to myself, props to you, Doc. You go. Make us all proud. What role do you serve as regards the sporting agencies here in Barbados and in the region as well? And I still believe that you are on the worldwide anti-doping committee.
Well, not quite. I am immediate past president of the Pan American Sports Medicine Federation. I was founding president of the Barbados Sports Medicine Association. I am a member of the Barbados Olympic Association. I'm a director of the Barbados Olympic Association, having gone to six Olympics in various roles. As far as the anti-doping is concerned, I've worked with the World Anti-Doping Agency in various roles, and I'm now just being elected or selected as chairman of the North American, Caribbean, and Central American Athletic Associations here in the Caribbean. So I've been involved in different areas and different sports. And internationally, I work with the International Testing Agency as far as doping controls internationally. And ITA actually will be responsible for the drug testing, or should have been, would have been, if the Tokyo 2020 Olympics had occurred. And when the 2020 Olympics is supposed to occur in 2021, there will be responsible for the doping controls there.
So just out of curiosity, because I know the Olympics go every 4 years and nobody can plan a pandemic, or essentially nobody should plan a pandemic. So if we have Olympics in 2021, does it go back to 2024, or will it be 4 years? Okay, I'm getting a nod. So it'll go back to
2024. Paris is the next, well, it probably could, right? I might be right in saying it would be the next Olympics, because we are unsure at this time whether the Olympics will be held next year. But it is scheduled to be held in July. The 2020 Olympics will be held in 2021 in Tokyo, Japan, as planned at this time. But that COVID-19 might intervene and determine what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I saw something about the experts saying that they hope that in under 2 years, this pandemic will be controlled. And there's much discussion to be had as to whether or not that will happen. But let's get back to starting sports in the era post-COVID, or in the COVID era, because we're not post-COVID at all. But we see that there has been some relaxations on the curfews. And again, I went back to see, it was March that we, as a nation, March 17th was the first case that came to Barbados, according to my research. And we, shortly thereafter, found ourselves as a nation under curfew. So know that we have been out of curfew for some time and things are gradually returning, and I'm not going to say to normal. They're gradually returning to a different state, or going to a different state. Let's talk about the general guidelines for those persons who find themselves involved in sports. So we're going to talk about things like personal protective equipment and how do we sanitize and the role of the media. So let's talk about personal protective equipment.
Okay, just before you do that, the government of Barbados issues these guidelines from time to time, or directives. And the last one, which we are on now, is the Emergency Management COVID-19 Protocol Number 2, Directive 2020. And in it, it tells you about the need for use of personal protective equipment. And the personal protective equipment, as we call it, PPE, involves the mask, the facial mask, or facial cloth coverings is one other term that we use, because initially, you know, this pandemic has been a fluid situation, a dynamic situation. And I could remember back in February telling people there's no need to wear a mask or surgical mask. And the World Health Organization was telling you that at that time. Now we have recognized, based on the science, that the need for the use of a mask is the primary protection against this. In addition to that, proper hand washing, and of course, physical distancing, which initially was 6 feet, and now we've gone down to 3 feet. So the mask wearing, and I must say, Dr. Boyce, we must wear masks in public places, and it must be properly worn. Too many people are wearing masks upside down.
on their foreheads.
On the foreheads, on the chins. And, you know, the reason for that is because you would buy a mask. It's not one size fits all. We have different size faces. So you need to adjust the mask. And I've had to do that from time to time, especially when I wear my mask outside of the office situation. But then when you put it down by the chin, you're stretching that elastic. So when you get back up by the nose, it's going to drop right back down because you have encouraged that mask to be a chin mask and not a facial mask. And that is not any use to you, is of no benefit to you. So when a patient comes into my office, I'm sure if they come into your office, you have to tell them, just bring it up a little bit more. And I know they complain about anything new, and wear masks is a new thing. But, you know, we had the seatbelt law, we had the helmets law, all those things that people resisted, the cell phone use in the cars. I still see some people use them. But we need to wear it properly. And as I tell my patients, I have to wear it all day. You only have to wear it when you come into my office or go into a business place. So just bear with it and abide with it, the rules, and it is going to protect you, protect me.
Correct. I agree. I agree completely. And therefore, since we understand that these masks and cloth face coverings offer protection, then we would want to have our athletes protected. But really and truly, it really is not practical to have an athlete training, for example, or on the field of play with a mask on, because I tried walking briskly with the mask and it was a very uncomfortable situation. You know, it's sticking to your face, it's preventing you from breathing. So what about those athletes who are actually on the field of play or on a court, or what's the recommendation for them?
Yeah, well, the Barbados Sports Medicine Association took the initiative to develop some guidelines for return to sport during the COVID pandemic. As you know, we submitted these to the government for their approval. That has not yet happened. I know they're busy with all the other protocols. And, you know, sports is always at the end of everything. You know, if you look at any of the ministries with sports, it is whatever, and sports.
And sports. That is,
you know, that is down at the bottom of the priority. And we have a lot of young people and older people like myself who are involved in sporting activity. And it is important to have these guidelines in place, national guidelines, so that everybody can utilize these. So the Barbados Sports Medicine Association, we met and we formed a committee, a COVID-19 committee, and we put together a group of guidelines. Now, as you said, it's not practical to be playing sport with a mask on. And we are now watching the CPL going on in Trinidad, and it is giving the impression that you don't need to wear masks, but they are in a biosecure bubble. And if you would have seen them coming off of the coach that took them from the Hilton Hotel to the Brian Lara ground, you see that all the players had on their masks while traveling. So when they left the hotel and they went on a bus, although that bus is within the biosecure bubble, all of the players wore their masks. And all of the ancillary staff would wear masks in the environment. So while playing the sport, during the sporting activity, then they would not wear masks because they're all being tested several times, repeatedly, and they are COVID-19 free. And they would not have been contaminated by anyone. And you can see the high fives and the exchanging of all the gestures at the beginning and end of matches as per normal. But that is a biosecure environment. And that is not what we want when the Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon cricket or tennis or football is being played here, because we are coming from our separate homes. We're traveling on public buses. We're traveling in cars or other vehicles with other persons. So you cannot physically, it's not recommended to play sporting activity with the mask on. I say that, but in the gym situation, it may be required to wear a mask while training. So playing, competition, and training two separate things.
Yeah, they've divided sports, I believe, into high-risk sports and low-risk sports, with the high-risk ones being those that are contact sports, I would guess, things like football and rugby and so on. What I recently found out is that bridge is considered a sport. They're under the National Sports Council, and believe it or not, I found it very fascinating that they too have to have in place their physical distancing, their mask wearing, signage. They have to have hand sanitizer, access to soap and water. I found this very, very fascinating that even bridge, something that is more relaxed, one would say, has to go under the same constraints.
Yes, bridge is a well recognized sport, and internationally, I believe it is also recognized by the International Olympic Committee, although it's not played in the Olympic Games. But you look at who plays bridge.
Yes,
those vulnerable people, mm-hmm. The people retired, most of them over the age of 60, 65, with all the chronic health problems. And that category of persons are persons that if they do get COVID-19, the outcome could be worse. You mentioned about the 7 deaths from COVID-19 in Barbados. It has not been publicly stated, but those 7 persons who died all had diabetes mellitus. All were diabetic. And as we know, the COVID storm, that inflammatory storm, cytokine storm that attacks you when you get COVID, causes everything to go haywire. And especially for the diabetics who are not well controlled, and I guess you see them every day, Dr. Boyce, if you are not well controlled and you are at the tip of the iceberg or tip of the edge of the cliff, you're going to fall over. You're going to fall over and fall in, and there's nothing much you can do. And that is what happened. A lot of them were not well controlled. The COVID made them worse. So going back to bridge, those people, some of them may have heart conditions, some may have had cancer, some may have diabetics, hypertensive, and some may be on immunosuppressive therapy, may have respiratory illnesses. So not only in bridge, but we have the younger age group, people who may have that, and we are seeing a lot of diabetics in the young. So yes, bridge and all sports recognized by the Olympic Association. And bridge is recognized by the not only National Sports Council, but the Olympic Association here in Barbados as well. Should have protocols in place. I understand they should be submitted to the COVID monitoring unit for their approval, and they can use them. They must have the signage, all the things, the sanitizers, the physical distancing, and they have your hand washing. And bridge is a sport I'm sure you can play with a mask on.
Yes, I think so too. Let's talk about some more of those general guidelines. We've spoken about the personal protective equipment, but what about the environments in which the athletes might find themselves?
Well, some sports are played outdoors, some sports are played indoors. You mentioned the contact and non-contact sports. And the outdoor sports generally are safer, but those can be also the contact sports. And therefore, you need to put things in place. You mentioned the personal protective equipment situation, which very important. Environmental conditions, cleaning of surfaces is very important. And before I forget, each sporting organization should have a COVID coordinator, some person who is going to be responsible for making sure all the risks are in place. All the protocols are in place and to monitor these things. So cleaning of venues and surfaces is very important. And the guidelines are provided by the Ministry of Health, the disinfectants, what concentration there should be, what they should be, where they should be applied, frequently touched areas like doorknobs, water fountains, restrooms, railings. Those things should be cleaned at least once per day or more often as is necessary. In the case of bridge, where somebody might be sitting there and then get up and go there, someone else will go there, then you would want to sanitize that area before. And you know, there are a lot of these disinfectant sprays. They're not to be sprayed on the surfaces, because that can disseminate the aerosols and the viruses. Spray it onto a cloth and then clean the area. So sanitize all areas before and after use is important. The disinfectants apply with a damp cloth and allow the surfaces to dry. It takes at least 4 minutes in most cases. the bleach solutions should be made up from the disinfectant and the dilutions 1 in 10. And at room temperature, hot water would destroy the bleach. So you need to do that warm temperature. And of course, we did mention that non-contact infrared thermometer.
Yes.
That, that is very important. Anyone coming into a sporting environment, you're entering a stadium, entering a club before you play a sport, a temperature should be taken. And a lot of people have been out in the press talking about social media, really, talking about the dangers of these non-contact thermometers. They are safe. They are receiving radiation from you rather than giving you radiation.
Giving you radiation.
And this thing about the pineal gland and all that sort of thing, that is fake. There is no effect on the pineal gland, which I'm sure nobody has heard about before now. I mean, the general public, we would know we had to learn it in our anatomy, and we haven't seen or heard it since. But yeah, there's no effect on the pineal gland or causing dementia and all these sort of things. It is part of the course, and we need to just do what has to be done. And they're safe to use. So each organization should have these things in place and ensure that they are followed.
I think one of the things we should do right now is caution those persons, the coordinators, those persons who are security officers at the various places that we enter and so on. It's not just a matter of pointing the thermometer at an individual and doing nothing after that. In medicine, once you get a result, an action must be taken based on that result. Either the individual should be informed that your temperature is normal or that it is not normal and such should happen. I was standing at a building in St. Michael, and I watched three persons ahead of me get their temperatures taken, and not one of the three was told what their temperature was. And whilst the temperature was being taken, the individual who was taking the temperature was carrying on conversations with other people about other things going on in that particular location. So it's not just rote. It's not, and I know that there is an alarm if the temperature is elevated, which might flag you to take a look at the temperature. But certainly, you have the thermometer for a reason, and therefore you should say to the person, okay, your temperature is normal. You don't have to tell them it's 37.1 degrees Celsius. It's not absolutely necessary, but your temperature is normal, sir. You can go ahead. Or ma'am, your temperature is elevated. Perhaps you should step over here and then you go to your protocol for your particular institution based on what has been put in place in your guidelines. And everybody by now should have guidelines to manage the abnormal temperatures.
Yes, actually, I was on the wrong side of the temperature on two occasions in the last 2 weeks. One, I was going to chair a meeting at a particular institution. And when I got to the gate, the temperature was taken. I had rushed from the office in the hot car. That is my explanation. And when I got there, 38 degrees, sir. So what? And so I parked the car and I went to a cool area. And within 10 minutes, it was 37 degrees and I was allowed to go and chair the meeting. So, and then I went into a business place and it was 38.1. I said, well, gosh, I have COVID. But yeah, actually happened to me twice, and I had never seen it happen to anyone else before that. But that is the rules, and you have to follow. So you must have something in place in case someone has a high temperature, or if someone falls ill during a training session or during competition. The general aim of or the Barbados Sports Medicine Association guidelines is get in the place, train or compete and get back out. No congregating after, during, avoid the locker rooms. You need to make sure you don't use someone else's water bottle
or equipment
should not be shared. I know even in tennis, you call it lawn tennis, but it's now called tennis internationally. Even the balls, when they're training, they have separate balls for the person. Cricket, when the before the West Indies team went off to England, similar situations. So there are specific guidelines for specific sports, and I would recommend that sporting leaders they should check with the International Sporting Organization, International Sports Federation, to see what guidelines are in place, or your national federations, regional federations, to see what is in place, or use the guidelines that we have circulated, the Barbados Sports Medicine Association, which are freely available to be used as just guidelines. But they are guidelines, and things change. Yes. We read last week that the government's protocols might soon change again. So things have changed, and we are learning a lot more about the virus as we go ahead, and therefore things will change. So these are guidelines, and that's what we're talking about.
One of the guidelines that I'm very happy about was no spitting. I thought that was I was very happy about that one. Yeah, it's something that is seen very often. I guess it must be a bit uncomfortable. You're out there, your mouth is dry or whatever. But when I read through and I saw no spitting, I was like, yes, here's one for the troops.
Well, you know, last week the FDA just gave approval for saliva tests for not approval, authorization is different to approval. Emergency authorization for a saliva test for COVID-19, which is quicker, cheaper, costs something like $20 US, and or $10 to $20, and the results come back in 10 minutes. Sorry, three hours, not 10 minutes, where you got that from. So, not to say that that will be instituted down here, but what I'm saying is that that is telling me that the virus is in saliva. So you're spitting on the tarmac, on the floor, on the grass. You know, you never know what could happen. So yes, no spitting or should be encouraged.
Let's talk about those persons, those athletes who have to travel. What protocols, precautions have been put in place for such persons?
Yeah, according to our guidelines, we are asking athletes who travel, and this is local travel first, if traveling on public transport, as we know, it is required that you wear masks, and I say wear masks properly, or if in a vehicle with other persons, not members of your household, you should wear your mask during travel to and from any sporting activity, training, gym, or whatever. It is important. The hand sanitizer should be used prior to and when entering a team bus, in case people are using a bus, a special bus. Temperature screening should be done. And if athletes are coming from overseas now to Barbados to take part in any competition, they have to abide by the local protocols of having that tests in place before you get here. Depends on where, if you're in the bubble or if you're from a low risk or medium risk or high risk country. And you see that there's going to be soon some football competitions where other countries will be here and we have to go other places to play football. I think it's preparation for the football World Cup. So you must abide by the local health protocols if you're going to be traveling. So traveling is important. It is important to wear your mask, to sanitize, and have your physical distancing on whatever transport that you are on, if it is possible at all. And of course, on arrival to the venue, then temperature taking to be done and all the other things that we mentioned before.
We have our first call this evening. Let's take that call.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Yeah, good evening, goodly doctors. I called to ask this question because some time ago I was reading where they say a rat fell into a swimming pool and contaminated the swimming pool to the point where someone using the swimming pool after the rat was taken out, probably not knowing that a rat fell in, that person caught lettuce. The question really is this. I don't know, this might be a foolish question, but I can ask nevertheless. The question is this: if a person with COVID or two go in a swimming pool, can those persons contaminate the swimming pool to the point where other users of the pool can catch this COVID?
I have not heard of any situation where it has been proven that the virus has been transmitted in that way within the swimming pool. As you know, swimming pool, they are chlorinated as well. I know that the Swimming Barbados Association, Swimming Association here, they've taken specific, I've actually seen a copy of their protocols, so that they're trying to limit the number of persons within that swimming at a particular time, and also the lanes that they're swimming in, usually far enough apart to prevent any contamination. But contamination in the water, swimming pool, there have not been any known cases thus far reported where that was the method of transport.
But is that a possibility that can happen, though? Is a possibility.
Anything is possible in medicine. We never say never. But
say
it's highly unlikely that it will happen. But as I said, in January, in February, we're telling you not to wear masks. And now I'm telling you, mask it or casket.
Yeah, mask it or casket. That's the thing that you always hear in my group chat. Mask it or casket. All right, doctor. Yes. Thanks very much. Greg, see you. Good evening to you, sir.
Take care, my friend. Nice to hear you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's funny that you should mention mask it or casket, because you've been very vocal, Dr. Lord, speaking out, I call it rhythm poetry, your various posts on social media about the need for us to take seriously the guidelines that have been put in place by those who are, I believe, looking out for our best interests. And we want to thank you and all others who are still championing the cause of getting on top of COVID-19 here on our country, in our country. We have another call. Let's take that before we continue our discussion. Good evening and welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening, ma'am. Very pleased to be able to call and get through to this topic, because it was just driving on my way home and hear someone talking about swimming pool with a rat and swimming pool with COVID. Let me make this clear. I was in pools from since 82 till now. And once the swimming pool is well kept, balanced properly, it's hardly likely for a person to catch COVID in it. And he mentioned a rat. No. People go to the sea and then come to a swimming pool. And because they're playing in the sea and water get into their ears, they don't mention that, but they mention it was in the pool. So when they start to get that infection in the ears, or that sound in the ears, the quickest thing they say is the pool and blame it on the pool. But once a swimming pool is being kept at the right level, it's very hard for bacteria or anything to live in it. I always say to people, the trouble is, now time you break down the chlorine to soak the human body, it will not be strong enough to kill it. So why do you have a swimming pool water at a 3.0 level and a 7.2 or 7.6, which pH is, which is acid? And the alkalinity is 120. There's a lot of different factors that play in the swimming pool. It's not just water and just chemical in the pool and that bit. There's a lot of things you have to balance to hold that pool at its level and its clarity to keep people healthy. Because a pool can consist of people from all over the world, and some of them have different sicknesses and different things like that. And you must keep the pool at the right level. I don't like to hear people trying to blame things on swimming pool. Well, S is possibly the cancer, because they got some people that do it for money and don't know how to balance it. They don't know where the pool is meant to. The pH is high and the pH is low. They don't know the means of that. Because when you say that the pH is acid, it's high, it doesn't mean that it's high in acid. It means that it doesn't have any acid when you lose that number. It's that the numbers are different. 7.6 is lower than 8.6 or 8.7. So when you're talking about how you know it's a number that you're looking at. You see, but it's very hard for some person to catch. But I will put my neck on the ground and say some, no one with that who's in the pool that is well balanced cannot catch COVID in it. Cannot. So that is what I call to say, because it might feel like to protect my field. You see, and I don't like people doing that, blame it on. Some people say, don't go in the swimming pool. I can't be vexed to them. I love the sea. But I will go in the swimming pool if I know the person will pass through it properly, or if I look after it properly, I know that I will go through it. You see, because sometimes if you test your drinking water now, and you test your chlorine water, you have a higher chlorine gradient in drinking water, in pool water than drinking water. And one thing when you test drinking water, you will get a 1.5 reading, a 1.2 reading, or a 1.0 reading. No, you don't even get a proper reading in drinking water.
So, yeah, so thank you very much for that intervention. You've given us a lot about talking about the pH of the water, and that is also very important in preventing the spread of other diseases in the swimming pools. And I think it's quite relevant, and thank you very much for your intervention.
Okay, Doc, before you go on, there's another call on the line when you're quite ready, huh?
You want to take this call then, Dr.
Ward? Yes, go ahead.
Good evening.
Hi. Good evening.
Yeah. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome to the show.
Well, I just want to make a observation. I went to locations to get an appointment. When I went to get the test, I mean to get the temperature check. The guy told me they just go on site. He told me it was in the sun too long, right? So I went and then he test check it again. And it was all right. But that was not the first time I went to the place. A month before I went to the same place, I was in the sun, and the machine worked. So I wonder if the machine malfunctioned or if the sun was ever so set a stance. Ever a stance, I mean. Because I was good every month. And it was
There are a lot of variables that can occur with the use of the non-contact infrared thermometer, but if it reads that it's high, and there's a lot of leeway, you know, that we use 37.5 is a temperature that we use less than that for a temperature in medicine, but we've used 37.5 for the non-contact thermometer because it's a non-contact method. There are several ways. I mean, some people say that they don't like to use the non-contact thermometers. Dr. Boyce would tell you that a rectal thermometer it's the most accurate way, so you don't want to do that. you can do the auxiliary temperature, you can do it under the tongue.
Under the arm.
The arm, right. So mm-hmm. So there are other methods that we use to do temperatures, but the non-contact is easy and simple, accessible, and gives you a quick reading as well. And you don't require a lot of training in order to do this. So therefore, that is the method that we use, and 37.5 is what we use. CDC uses 38 degrees Celsius. So it gives a lot of leeway, but, you know, not to worry about it. The thing is, if you go into a business place and your temperature is high, you are supposed to remove yourself from the business place to go to a separate area and cool yourself down. Because then it would be repeated after a prescribed period of time. And if it is still high, then you may not be able to enter that place. You may be asked to contact the COVID hotline or a doctor to be checked to make sure that you don't have any of the COVID-19 symptoms.
We have another call, Doc. Let's take the call.
Love
good evening. This. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening. I've not been hearing anything about dancing. Since dancing is also considered as a sport, ballroom or dancing.
Yes, dancing is a sport, and it is recognized by the International Olympic Committee as well. And therefore, with the dancing, and I guess you're talking about line dancing and ballroom dancing, that type of thing. I don't know about this ballroom dancing, but as far as line dancing is concerned, you have to follow the protocols. You have to have the physical distancing. the temperature should be taken before you go into the dancing hall. Your hand washing should be done, and mask wearing should also be put in place. So yes, dancing, the same thing would apply for dancing, although it's recreational, but we need to protect ourselves, and you need to protect yourself. So if other people are not protecting themselves, you make sure that you are protected, because the mask has been shown to help to protect yourself from COVID-19.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Drew. We have another call on the line, Doc.
Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Doc, I need to nip back in here. Dr. Lord, you are a sports medicine doctor, and I'm sure you must have heard about this. We are an international, a bodybuilder from Barbados who went to represent Barbados at an international bodybuilding show. Went into the hotel swimming pool and caught an infection in his eye from the swimming pool that has his eye to this day out of shape. He can still see out of it, but the actual wrong, the area around the eye is out of shape. I don't know if you ever heard about that, but he went...
No, I've never heard about that.
Yeah,
but we want to focus this afternoon on COVID-19, and we don't have the whole evening to do
it. I understand that, right? I understand that, but I'm just referring to the person, the pool expert, to let him know that things happen in a swimming pool. And doctor will call you at your office tomorrow and will tell you who the person is, because the person from down the road like you.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Doc.
All right, thanks, caller. We have another call on the line, Doc, so don't run away. Oh, they just ran away.
Okay, so it wasn't you this time, Gregston.
No, it wasn't me this time, I must tell you. It wasn't me. They were waiting while the goodly caller was making his contribution, and then it just disappeared. But while I have your attention, this one says, wait a minute, somebody's calling back again, so I'll hold my thought on this WhatsApp and try to engage this caller here so that you can speak with him or her. Good evening, Better Health Radio Show.
Yes, good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I still believe that if someone in a swimming pool, so okay, it's like three person infected, you don't know, and they spit in the water and somebody's swimming and they swallow it, I believe they will still catch the COVID. And another thing, if you got a whole group of person in a pool and they're talking, the saliva spitting all about, I mean, they're talking and the droplets going all about, somebody will get it in the swimming pool because they're supposed to keep this away. And they say that if you talking that and the saliva like spitting all about, you know, like if it could be golf balls then, that you can catch the COVID, the virus.
Well, you know, if you're in the if you're in a swimming pool and you are, you're not going to be wearing a mask, so you should maintain the physical distancing to reduce the likelihood of the droplets being passed from one person to each other. Because you know that we're in this. I've gone on by Brandon's the hot pot. And see people huddled together. I don't know if they're from the same household or not. But, you know, in the sea or in the swimming pool, you need to still maintain that physical distancing, whether it's just recreational or competitive swimming.
Yeah, because everybody talking, or them golf balls, especially here, there, everywhere, and that body infected, the other person would catch it from them too. And they
you have to understand that it's about remaining a safe distance from individuals. You also have golf balls when you're having ordinary conversation with persons, so it's not the swimming pool per se. So we need to get past this swimming pool issue
let me explain myself. If the swimming pool crowded, distant from the person, and you all together without a mask, and the person in there infected with the virus, anyone in that group will catch the virus too. And I believe somebody infected and just spit in that pool and the person diving and swallowing, I believe they will contact the virus.
Perhaps you didn't hear what we had said earlier. So for the benefit of you and others who might not have heard earlier, the Barbados Sports Medicine Association, they have gone together and they have put together some guidelines. In those guidelines, one of the things that they're trying to focus on is get in, train mm-hmm. and get out. There's no time for conversation in the pool. There's no time for congregating. And one of the other rules is no spitting. Persons are not allowed to spit in the pool. They're not allowed to spit on the tarmac. They're not allowed to spit on the field of play, because we understand that we are in a different time. We are operating under completely different conditions as opposed to what would have happened last year this time. Well, not last year, year before this mm-hmm. time. Right. So the issue is we are here to share the guidelines so that those persons mm-hmm. who are returning to sport can know how to protect themselves, and the other parties who are involved in the sporting organizations know how to protect themselves as well. So I hope this
clears it up. I wasn't talking about sport.
Thank you very much for calling.
Hello?
You finished your contribution?
No, I say I wasn't talking about pools in sports in general. We're talking about pools as anyone going in a pool.
Okay.
And I know, and conversation, you know, like diving and so on, people in groups.
Ma'am, you're not listening. You're not listening. I said the aim, I'll say it for you just one more time. Mm-hmm. The aim, as according to the Barbados Sports Medicine Association, I hope I have the name right, is that you get into the pool, because we're talking about the pool now. You train and you get out. There's no time for congregating. There's no time for conversation. There's no time for socialization. Nothing. In, train, out. No spitting is allowed. One of the stipulations is you are not allowed to spit. So you should not be spitting in the pool.
But I know. I understand
the guidelines
that
we're trying to discuss.
I understood you in that part. But I was talking in general as in COVID, as like a tourist in a pool. That's what he was talking about. I'm just talking about sports, you know.
Okay, but the show this evening is about sports. And we really do thank you for your your contribution.
All right. Thank you kindly. We have another caller as well. I hope the person is still there. A very good evening to you. Is that person still there, please?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes. We had a spirited conversation there ahead of you. So I'm thanking you kindly for being so patient. Go ahead, Doc.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening. Can the virus be spread through perspiration? Two persons perspiring profusely, could they transmit the virus?
All right, I leave that for you, Dr. Lord.
the virus can be found in body fluids, but we don't know yet if that is a main mode of transmission. We know that surfaces that you touch could be, the virus can be transmitted on those surfaces up to hours after it's been there, and for that reason, that's why you need to clean the surfaces on a regular basis. So it would seem that there can be some contact, can be some spread in that area, but it is not well documented at this time, and therefore in these contact sports, high-risk sports such as football and rugby and boxing, we have to take additional precautions.
Okay, thanks for that, though.
All right, thank you, caller. We've got another call on the line, Doc, so let's see if we can access them very quickly. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, please, the doctors can hear you.
I was wondering if you could catch my refrain. You see, you see this.
We can hardly understand what you're saying because.
I was wondering if.
Much better. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
They see better together.
I think that was discussed earlier. Why the pool? They're wondering if the virus can be caught.
Sea bathing?
Yes, if you're sea bathing in the sea together.
Just keep your physical distancing. And the sea is quite good for you and good exercise. And. I don't think you should worry too much about that. Enjoy the sea baths.
Yeah, I have a sea bath, but everybody's doing together.
Keep your physical distancing.
Huh?
Keep your physical distancing. Did you hear that part?
Everybody's doing together.
All right, but just keep your physical distancing, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your contribution. I think we've got another caller on the line. Let's see if we can access them. Good evening.
Peace be unto each and everyone. Good afternoon. I heard on the BBC News that the schools now in England, they are monitoring, sending children back out to school because they say it seems that children are more easy to catch the COVID And I'm worried here about the schools and the nurseries. So I would like something on that. Dr. Laura, you always keep abreast of everything because I always get your comments. Very good ones to Dr. Laura.
And, thank you.
I would like to know, but something I am worried about, I have a few friends that worked in the hotel, and you know the hotel know what's going on, and some is out, they're out of work and have children, bills running up, and they're getting depressed. I would like you to say something, or if you're not listening to, encourage them in some way or the other.
Before the good doctor answers your question, I just want to make sure I get your premise correct. You're saying that according to BBC, the children were going to catch the COVID much
they are
easier?
They are monitoring it, that they say that the children, it seems like the children catching it more easier. Well, Dr. Law, he probably listens, so he probably will listen to nothing here, but they are monitoring it and sending children back out to school because it seems like they're catching it. The small children know why catching it easy.
Well, I don't know if that's the same story that I...
what you heard?
It's the other way around. That if you keep them out of the school, that they're more likely, more damage can be done to them.
You heard that from England?
Well, we read it in the news this evening at 5:30, where and I just closed the newscast. If it was still up, I would have read it for you again. But what they were saying is that it's good for them to go to school. Let's put it that way. But let the doctor answer your question.
Okay.
Yeah, I did hear a report similar to that where they said that children are now the silent spreaders of COVID-19.
Thank you.
A new study that provided that data. And they said that it was felt that children played a large role in the community spread of COVID-19. So that is what is out there now. I'm sure there are Ministry of Health and Wellness and our Ministry of Education and the COVID Monitoring Unit, we're going to look at all these studies and see what the situation is in our neck of the woods and then put whatever has to be in place. We had successful return to school for the class four students, as well as those in the fifth forms and sixth forms. We haven't had any outbreaks of COVID within our community, and that's why you see it's important that we need to keep the COVID out of the communities. And therefore, what we are doing is asking you to protect yourself, wear your mask,
and
hand washing.
Stay home if you don't have to, no callings to be outside, but people enjoying that.
All right, let me interrupt you there, Doc, and our good friend on the line. This is a story I was referring to that we carried in the 5:30 edition. It says, a new British study indicates children are less likely to contract COVID-19 in school than elsewhere. Public Health England has published the study suggesting the risk of outbreaks in schools is low. In fact, the UK's chief medical advisor says children are more likely to be harmed by not returning to school than if they catch COVID-19. That's the story you're referring to. All right, go ahead, Doc.
Yes, so that is also quite correct. And as you say, we are learning as we go ahead, and therefore we're getting all these stories, but we shouldn't get too alarmed. We're going to look at all these stories, all these situations as the information comes into us. And we'll try to make sense out of it and put our own regulations in place. As I said, locally, we don't have any evidence of any community spread, mm-hmm. and we want to maintain that. I think we must congratulate those frontline workers who are out there working. And I think before we leave this program, we have to congratulate Minister Bostick. I don't want to be political, but Minister Bostick and the Chief Medical Officer and members of the Ministry of Health and Wellness, all those volunteers are out there doing the swabbing, the contact tracing, the immigration people, the policemen, all of them are working hand in hand to help to restrict. I know we're getting scared with the numbers going up, but these...
It's inevitable opening our borders.
We're not too worried, but we have to be concerned. But, yes?
I have a granddaughter who have a young baby, and she's a frontline worker. And from the time they start, and we had the first kid, I do not sleep properly because I study that child and my great grand, and it really have me, you know. So And to me, if you don't have no calling outside, I don't feel you should go outside. If you go to the beach and the beach is crowded, I will come back home. If it was me, I wouldn't go in the water.
If you go to Miss Lawrence Gap and you go into a nightclub and it's too crowded, come long back home as well. If you go to the Garrison, wherever you go and it's too crowded, or people not come from. But you had mentioned earlier the importance of the psychological support. And I think that is very important. You need to ensure that people are with the anxiety and
depression.
And depression. There's a lot of that going on there. I actually did a prayer at church this morning at the beginning of church. And in it, I did ask for the anxiety and that is being caused from this pandemic. We need to help ourselves to overcome that anxiety. So it is important that we need that support system. And there is a lot of support out there. There are individuals who are suffering from the anxiety and the fears of what could happen. And we've seen what is happening in North America and other places in Central America and South America. And therefore, we are really, that's caused a lot of anxiety. And as I said, you need to protect yourself. So whatever you need to do to protect yourselves, by all means, let's do it.
And what I think too, that we all should share. I don't have much, but I try to help assist others because you're not working. You have bills to pay. You have children, and children need to eat. You can't look at them and tell them, well, I don't have nothing. A lot of us don't throw away if you have it, and it's good that it could give to somebody. Don't throw it. We don't like staying spoiled when it could give somebody, and that is what happening. A lot of people struggling because some of them too proud to beg. Or rather to ask. I wouldn't even say beg. Ask, God, this is time now. This is a begging time. This is asking time because it's a crisis with people. People are out of work because they willfully lost the job. So we need to assist people. I don't have much, but I always try to help every day.
So perhaps what you can do, rather than waiting for someone to ask, perhaps you can go ahead and share. You know, ask.
Are you always sharing?
Right?
I always sharing. That's what I'm saying this year. I know that people need to have to share. I always do. I tell you, I don't have much, but I always sharing.
So okay, caller. Thank you kindly, as usual, for your contribution. I'm sorry I have to run you off, but we had somebody waiting on the line while you were speaking, and I hope they haven't gone. Seems like they have gone. Have they gone?
Hello.
Oh, they're still there. So, caller, before you start, caller, let me just thank the other caller for calling. I didn't want her to get the impression I was running her away, but I just want to get your contribution before time's up. And I have a WhatsApp here I need to read or a question to ask the good doctor. So I will let you go very quickly, sir, and ask the doctor your question, please.
Let me say a very special good evening to the doc. Urinals, as far as men are concerned, the urinals, public urinals or urinals that's in the workplace. What is the position as far as the male is concerned? I can't speak on the female end, but there's several urinals in Barbados that are not well kept. And is there a possibility that because the urinals are not well kept and you have to use them, then that what is the likelihood of catching the virus?
Yeah. Bathroom facilities should be maintained and should be well kept. They need to have proper sanitization, proper disinfection done on a regular basis at several times during the day. Of course, you know, that may not be practical in all public facilities, but that is what is being encouraged. And we would hope that those government officials and other public places, business places where the public may need to be used will be able to sanitize the areas properly, not only the urinals, but also the basins and the knobs that you need to use to wash your hands, and the soap dishes should be soap. Soap dispensers should be non-contact if possible, and so on and so forth. So, yeah. So, but I understand that the issue that you brought to us. Very good point.
I appreciate that, sir.
Thank you, caller. You have a wonderful evening. Before the good doctors disappear from us, let me just read this one very quickly. It says, good evening to all. My question is, if someone got a flu shot this year, can they be affected with COVID-19 if they had the flu shot? My understanding is that the flu vaccine is coronavirus that is injected. Please explain. Thanks. That's one. And the same caller goes, WhatsApper goes on to say, by the way, the caller about the pool, let me say that my daughter contracted Pseudomonas. I hope I got that right, doctor. Pseudomonas. Correct. From the pool and had to be given antibiotics for this. Go ahead.
There's no connection with the flu virus and the COVID-19. COVID-19 is a coronavirus. The flu virus is a different virus altogether. What we're recommending is that when the flu season is coming in, and we should avail ourselves of having the flu vaccine, because it will offer some level of protection against the flu, which had similar symptoms to COVID-19. So if you do get any symptoms, then we will know it's unlikely to be the flu. It might be something else. But the flu is not a coronavirus.
So it seems as though we've run out of time. We were in this evening with Dr. Adrian Lord. We were talking about the guidelines, or we attempted to talk about the guidelines from the Barbados Sports Medicine Association as regards sports in the COVID-19 era. One of the things that we really want to reinforce for the general public is that protection is better than cure. Prevention is better than cure.
Before you wrap up, good doctor, there's one quick query here. It says, good evening. When you reach a doctor's building, should you have to spray on your hands yourself? I'm assuming they're asking if they have to carry their own sanitizer or if it should be provided.
Yeah, most doctor's offices provide, on entry into their offices, hand sanitization. But it's always better to walk with yours anyhow.
Protect yourself.
Correct. It's all about prevention. Prevention is better than cure. So please wear your facial coverings. Please do not wear the face shields without a mask. That defeats the whole purpose of wearing the face shield, because your nose and your mouth, they're both exposed at the sides and the bottom of the shield. So you really are not protecting yourself or anybody else. Wear your mask on your face, on your nose and mouth. Please wash your hands 20 seconds with an alcohol-based hand sanitizer, a minimum of 60%, preferably 70%. Soap and water for 20 seconds. We're trying to prevent persons from contracting the virus, and maintain your physical distance. It's supposed to be between 3 and 6 feet. I think it's a 3-foot radius around each person. And what we can do is just pray and hope that everybody remains safe. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Better Health Radio Show. Next week, we will see what will be going on as regards the show. Gregson, thank you for having us. Thank you for chipping in.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And a very good evening to the good Dr. Adrian Lord as well.
Yes, thanks, Dr. Lord, for taking your time and educating us as usual. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. This is Dr. Boyce, and it has been my pleasure.
All right, there you go. This evening's edition of the Better Health Radio Show. You had as your host, as per usual, Dr. Renee Boyce. And this evening she had her special guest in Dr. Adrian Lord. Of course, next weekend, Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, God's willing, we all should be back here to give you some more education with regards to the Better Health Radio Show.